702.
Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Let's walk the talk.
It's 9:36 on the Saturday edition of Weekend Breakfast. In these final 24 minutes, we're going to be talking books with Ms. Karabo Kholeng. As we do every Saturday, we just dip into the literary scene. You know what I mean? Hi, Karabo.
Hey. Your intros send me to feel it. Like they send me to beautiful places. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much and good morning.
It's always a pleasure. I almost did something so incredibly cheesy talking about checking out the literary scene with the gangster. Yo, I almost showed my age. So thank you for stopping me with that giggle because I caught myself. Karabo, today's book is a little bit different from what we've been what you've been reviewing for us so far. Just a little bit different. It's called What's Your Move by Nicolette Mashile. And I know Nicolette as a TV presenter, but also the founder of Financial Fitness Bunnies, right? Championing personal finance, championing specifically women as well, getting in charge of their money, knowing and understanding their money and investments, and just being in charge of their lives and planning for their futures. So, What's Your Move by Nicolette Mashile? Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is a book that I need, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I need all books, but like me and money, we have a snarks relationship because I was raised Anglican, which means that money is something you don't talk about. It's just something that you spend.
Uh-huh.
But meanwhile, we don't have money.
Mm.
So what I appreciate about Nicolette's approach is that, number one, she's somebody that's similar to me, you know.
Yeah.
So I get her stories because the way that she writes this book is that she's having a chat with you,
mm-hmm.
but she's not talking down at you. She's not putting a Yanla or what's that other one? That FNB one, the one that FNB sponsored. What's her name? Sweet Woman.
Okay,
So she's not putting that kind of move or game on you. She's just telling you, hey, now this is how I learned my lesson about this thing called guap. As the kids call it, right?
Yeah.
So she tells you. So what she does with each chapter, she tells you a story,
okay.
and a personal story.
Yes.
And what she learned, and then she puts it to you. What's your move?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, so if you were in this situation, what's your move? So she breaks it down that, you know, she's not a financial advisor. And you know, I don't do these kinds of books because I leave them to Bruce on weekday evenings after 6.
Sure, sure.
Because he's the boss at Tele.
He's, you know, the money guy.
I'm just the boss of like how to tell a story nicely. That's all.
But I guess what you're telling us is that Nicolette has told the story of money and beliefs and upbringing very, very well in such a manner that it's resonated and you had to bring it to the space.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we also have to get real, you know, because books are not for free and life is not for free. But she tells it so beautifully that, like, you get it because you don't feel judged. Because I find with a lot of business books or money books, I'd rather call them money books.
Cause it's not finance
about
business, books.
It's about money, right? Fine, yeah. With a lot of those books, I always feel like I'm being chastised, right? And trying to explain that, look, I come from a position where, like, these things are not taught to us. They're not.
Mm.
You know, like, with me, money, right? When I think about money, I think about my parents fighting in their room while I'm trying to sleep. And I know the next day I can't ask for money for cool drink.
Sure.
You know?
Mm.
And we pass that on to our kids. So what I love about Nicolette is that we don't have to do that anymore. And she's not preaching about it. She's saying, hey, look, this is my story.
She says, carry on and then I'll follow up with the question. Go ahead.
So she says, you know, managing your personal finances is about more than just knowing and following the rules. It's also influenced by our behavior and culture and by how companies and financial institutions market products and services to us as customers. A good analogy is weight gain. Mm. Can we say that people are overweight only due to laziness? This would be an insult to food companies that spend years researching on how to make food that is softer, easier to swallow, tastier, more appealing. These tested, refined, optimized processes make consumers eat more. Similarly, companies and financial institutions have perfected the art of developing products and services and targeting us consumers with them. I know you might be thinking, what about personal responsibility and accountability? So she breaks it down that, like, you know, also the system is designed to make you spend as quickly as possible. And she speaks to you about how to, like, temper that, you know. But she also understands where it comes from, you know. So she begins with how, you know, when she failed her degree at Rhodes University and gained weight and she felt like a failure and tried all these products and, you know, and how, you know, she started to put herself back together, you know. And putting herself back together had a lot to do with money. And how she figured it out. And basically she's sharing how her journey is. So you can use it, don't use it. But meanwhile, it's a lovely story. Yeah. You don't have, she's not a financial advisor. So she's just telling you a story about, like, her money journey. And giving you the lessons that she learned. But she's not preaching to you or describing anything to you.
Yeah.
Except,
So what I find really interesting about Nicolette's journey is, yes, you've said it up front, and she's very clear that she's not a certified financial anything, right? And she uses her own life as a template or way to have these very important conversations. And we probably, you know, we will often approach a personal finance and, you know, like you said, in a way that can be scary for someone who hasn't grown up in an environment where money is just spoken about, period, right? Or if your parents have never had to really interact with the world of finance. So it tends to be incidental. You go to work, you come back. Maybe they one time or one or two times they did, you know, interact meaningfully with a bank or an institution or a bank manager, whatever, was applying for a bond for the house and maybe for the car. And then the conversation dies there. And the reason I bring it up is my other project, we're on set. We work on a TV show. And I remember listening in on a conversation and then having a conversation with some of the younger folks on set, and one of them was struggling with she just changed car insurance companies, and she drives this teeny tiny car that is, you know, an entry level vehicle. And when she told me that she was paying close to 3,000 rand for that vehicle, I almost...
For insurance.
I almost died. And I said, but that can't be. Your car's not even worth that much. What is going on with your policy? Like, what did you sign up for? And so the conversation becomes I didn't have a template for... No one else in my family has ever bought a car, right? No one else in my family has achieved this and this and this. So we've literally never had conversations at home about money, finance, or comparing, you know, having a father, your father, your mom saying, oh, I'm paying too much for insurance, I'm going to shop around, whatever the conversations are. And so she learned the hard way. And I asked her, what made you go for this specific company? And it's because the name of the company told her that it is aimed at us women, and therefore she just, when they said, when they gave her the first quote, she didn't quibble. She said they must know what they're doing. And so I'm glad.
It's good faith, right?
It's good faith,
because also we forget that capital has got nothing to do with good faith. It's about getting as much as it can, and we need to learn the game quickly. And you know, just to add on to what you say, when our families do have conversations about money, it's usually when it's really stressful. You know, so even the relationship and it's trauma as well. You know, it's also part of trauma, because, like, whenever money comes up in black families, it's when somebody has died or when somebody needs to pay for their bride, which is also a very stressful occasion, because people don't want to let their daughters go. You know, so when I got...
Sorry, Karabo, can you say that again? You cut out for a moment.
When I got to university, because we grew up with white friends, right? And then you realize how money is different when you get to university and you see your friends who complain that they're broke, but they have a credit card and they've got 50 rand. And you're like, huh? Because usually when you hear the word broke, you know that there's violence around the corner, which means, you know, they're taking away your parents' bed or the couch. Or
the sheriff's going to come knocking.
Exactly, you know. And with white kids, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, like, yeah, I spent a little too much. But actually, does not. When white kids say they're broke, it's not life threatening to them, but to us, yeah. So we need to heal, and Nicolette does a good job at like helping us to heal. But like, okay, we're not our childhoods anymore, mm-hmm. and this is how we do. So she tells you to start an Mjolo account. So she makes savings a joy. Sure. You know, like, you know, don't approach saving like for a rainy day, because it's rainy every day for us as black people. Mm-hmm. Think of savings as like, yeah, exactly. Think of savings as, okay, you know, hage batago jola. Like, what is it's like going out with my friends, mm-hmm. or, you know, taking myself out for like a sexy night out or whatever. That, you know, it's also about like changing that, you know, changing the story in our minds so that we can be free from the way that money has held us so ransom.
Interesting. What else? What else does she do in this book that resonated with you, or that landed in terms of how she changes the story and lets you think or approach money and finances differently?
The different investment vehicles, like I said, the Mjolo account really appealed to me. You know, so she speaks about the different investment vehicles to reach your destination, but and she calls it your arrived destination. So when you feel, what does it take for you to feel that you've arrived? What would it take? Like, what would be around you? And then these are the different investment vehicles that you need to like reach your arrived destination. So she talks about like, you know, the short term ones, the mid term ones, and the longer term ones. So and she's funny, hey? Like, mm-hmm. she's got humor. She
yeah,
does.
Absolutely. She's got so humor like, and verve in yes, spades. Yeah.
Yes. So. It's one of the most sort of comfortable reading experiences I've had when it comes to personal finance, you know. And she breaks down like what common stocks are, what preferred stocks are, and but she also, you know, she also gives you references so you can go and like check it out for yourself.
Cool.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So for example, she talks about this one about investing in ETFs. I had no idea what an ETF was until I read this book. Exchange traded funds.
Yeah,
like I said, money is rotten. I was raised by a priest, so we don't talk about money.
Sure.
so she looks at ETFs as she talks about an investment salad, right? That's made up of individual ingredients that are known as indices, and we can imagine these as making up the different ingredients of a salad, right? Mm. So it says like various green leaves, and ETF indices, it would be JSE top 40 stocks, the 40 biggest companies listed on the JSE. So she doesn't assume that you know, which is what I love also, because, you know, some of us are ignorant about these things. Avocado would be bonds. Cherry tomatoes would be property shares. Feta would be offshore tech stocks. Mm-hmm. Coupons would be cash. Cucumber would be money market. Shrimp would be crude oil. I love that. And French salad dressing would be real estate, right? And then she says, you'll notice that the above salad is made up of a variety of food groups and asset classes. An ETF can be made up of indices from a variety of asset classes and industrial sectors, as in the example above, or ETFs can track or be more narrowly focused on one asset class or one industrial sector. And you know what I like?
Sure.
You can go back to the... She shows it to you in a table. So you can go back. When you get lost, you can go back, you know? So this is a book, and also, guys, it's almost December, and those of us who have been blessed or fortunate or you know, whatever, enough, that you might have a little bit of something,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe pick up this book to see, like, how wisely to do it, because she also talks about black tax, you know, in it.
And what does she say about it?
No,
how does she frame it? Okay, all right, Karabo, just hold out on us, why don't you? But you know, I can imagine someone is rolling their eyes, going, "But I mean, we all know this stuff already." But the problem is that we actually don't, and if we've heard it often enough, and we've often heard it, right? But sometimes it takes the right person or the right voice or the right tone for all these conversations around financial freedom, financial wellness, to finally land with an individual, right? So it might be swirling around in the air, and you might even listen to Bruce Whitfield in the evenings and go, shoo, way over my head, and even be familiar with terms, but not be intimate with them. So it really is important, I think. I'm glad you brought this book to our discussion this morning to make sure that, you know, give someone an opportunity for this particular voice to land, for this particular approach to land, and galvanize them into taking charge of the situation.
She talks about financial lessons from the Lobola negotiations, right? And back tax is actually a conversation that she had with her father. I won't be that mean, because I actually, it would be a good idea for us to all read this book together as a family. But, you know, she speaks about, I've never read that in like a book on like financial independence, you know, mm-hmm. where it's, you know, where it's framed in our daily lives. Mm. You know, because the thing is with other personal finance books is that they assume that we grew up in a reality that we didn't, you know. I mean, I'll give you an example. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right?
Sure.
Kiyosaki's book. You know, and the thing is, it frames those financial freedom lessons as in, like, it's just us being lazy and ignorant.
Mm.
But, you know, I mean, I've only had a credit card once in my life, and I had it for about 18 months, and then I couldn't.
Mm.
You know, I couldn't. And I was 25. Why would Standard Bank give a 25-year-old a credit card with a maximum limit just 50,000 rand? Which she doesn't even know who she is, right? But that's not the bank's fault as well.
Because she qualified, Karabo. And she walked into the branch and asked for it or applied for it.
No, you don't apply. No, the bank offers it to you. I can apply for it.
And you said yes.
And then you said, and of course I said yes. 50,000 rand free money every month on a revolving basis. You know, Jamil Farooq Khan also writes about it in Confessions of a Vata Slums, Summer.
Yeah.
He writes about the relationship that we have with money, like from like his family's perspective, you know, it's like the rich colored on the street. But sure. Meanwhile, it's a problem, you know. So she speaks about, you know, what she learns from Lobola negotiations and what her dad tells her about black tax. And, and the thing about property, you know, what it means when there's transfer costs and what these costs entail and why they can suddenly just blow up in your face, you know, and she takes her time with you. So, bless her. Hey? Bless
so
her
how many
book.
People are you giving this book to?
I can't afford to buy copies of it, so y'all are going to have to buy it at the shop.
Lovely stuff.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take the lessons, and this is a good time of the year to actually think about, you know, what's your next move. Mm. And that's what I love about it, the fact that it's called What's Your Move, you know, and the your, she puts it in your, she highlights the word your. So what's your move? And it's also about taking control and taking power, but she does it with a lot of care and responsibility.
Sure.
She says, yeah, you know what, like a lot of these things, you know, we didn't know about them, because it's also a system that wasn't designed with us in mind.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
The system of capital was not designed with us in mind, but now we have an opportunity because we have education. So she's sharing her lessons and what she's learned and how she made her first million. And
I'm keen to find out, and you don't have to tell us what it is specifically, but I'm keen to find out if she tackles the idea of beauty and women's grooming at all, because I look at that increasingly and think, my goodness, as a young person or as a woman in 2020, there are so many boxes to tick. So by the time the nails are done, the fake lashes bought, or the individual lashes applied, by the time you have invested, I don't know how many thousands into your makeup, makeup kit and then how many thousands into your hair and then how many thousands into the Louis Vuittons. And, you know, it's just, it's a lot. And I see a lot of young people actually splashing out on all of this. And you think, wow, what do the savings look like if, you know, on your person alone, you've got, you know, so many thousands just on a daily basis. It's a lot that women are doing. And you wonder if that doesn't contribute, you know, if we don't have more of an intentional approach to even simple things like beauty, we always end up on the back foot financially.
Well, she tells a story about how she was looking for an outfit for the State of the Nation address event that she was attending.
Mm.
So she walked into Luminance in Hyde Park, and it was already after 5 in the afternoon. So most of the shops, you know, they closed down. Joburg is a world-class African city, but the shops close at 6. I still need to, like, get that around my head. But anyway.
We've got a minute, yeah?
So she walks into Luminance, and basically there's a belt for 3,000 rand. A skinny little gorgeous belt is 3,000 rand. But her emotions are so low, and she needs to feel good, that it's something that dribbles her. So she speaks to that, the thing about grooming and personal grooming and the amount you spend that's not proportional to what you have, as it's a function of emotional intelligence. So we need to grow up about that kind of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. There are ways to look good that don't require you to go into debt for 3,000 rand for a piece of leather.
Got it.
You know, yeah.
Garabo, thank you so much. Always enjoy our chats. Looking forward to next week's title. Keep well until then, yeah?
You too, ma'am.
Cheers. All right. That's Garabo Kholeng. And the book she gave us today is What's Your Move? And the title is What is Your Move? Written by Nicolette Mashile.